Turn your Bibles with me this morning to Matthew. Everyone, grab your Bible, turn to the New Testament. Matthew chapter 21. This morning we're going to start a series on prayer. Now, we just finished in the book of Colossians. We normally on Sunday teach right through the books of the Bible. But this morning I'm going to talk to you about a house of prayer. Let me read from Matthew 21, starting in verse 12. It says, "And Jesus went into the temple of God and drove out all of those who bought and sold in the temple, overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. He said to them, 'It is written, My house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves.' Then the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. And when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying out in the temple saying, 'Hosanna to the Son of David,' they were indignant and said to him, 'Do you not hear what these are saying?' And Jesus said to them, 'Yes, have you ever read that out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants you have perfected praise?' Then he left them and went out of the city of Bethany, and he lodged there." I believe with all of my heart, as I told you last Sunday, that it's time for the church of God to get back to the simplicity of just praying. Praying is the most neglected thing that we do. Amen. I mean, we don't mind tithing. We don't mind coming to church. We don't mind building bigger buildings. We don't mind sending missionaries into the world. We don't mind to do that. But when you call someone to start praying, something happens. We find out how, well, what's wrong with me? Why don't I want to pray? What's stopping me? We're asking for God as we start a time of prayer. As I said last Sunday, I'm asking all of you to set aside 10 small minutes minimum in your home each night. Gather your family, pray. And then on Sunday morning at 10 a.m., be upstairs to pray for God to open unto us a door. It says in Colossians 4, it says, "Continue earnestly," Paul says, "in prayer, being diligent in it with thanksgiving. Meanwhile, praying for us that God would open to us a door for the word." Listen, Paul was asking for a door to be opened. The Apostle Paul, what door? To speak the word of Christ. Why? As a missionary. You know, you can never take for granted an open door. But when God gives you an open door, if there's just a hint of light, we need to walk into it. And so this morning, as we enter into that time, it is my prayer, as I said a moment ago, I pray that this summer is a summer of change, that a new life, that life that is already in you starts coming forth as never before. The Bible says in 2 Chronicles 7:14, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land." God said specifically, if we'll do three things, if we will pray, if we will seek His face, if we'll turn from our wicked ways. Listen, was He talking to people that weren't saved? He was talking to the church of the wilderness, if you will. He was talking to the people that He called out of bondage, the children of Israel. He said, listen, turn from your wickedness. Let me ask you a question. Do you think that there's wickedness in the church of Christ today? Yes, there is. Thank God for grace. Amen. Thank God that God doesn't, if somebody's lied this morning, have you told a lie this morning? I pray that you didn't, but what would happen if you told a lie and all of a sudden you just start falling over dead in the service? I might lose half of this side. No offense. Oh, it was this side. I'm sorry. It'd be like Ananias and Sapphira. We'd just be, well, Herb, go carry him out, brother. You keep digging the ditch. Get a minute. Aren't you glad that God has given us grace, that we live in a time of grace right now? But grace is no excuse to sin. God forbid. Amen? So God says, listen, if you'll pray, if you'll seek my face, if you'll turn from your wicked ways, then God says He'll do something. Number one, He will hear us from heaven. Number two, He will forgive us of our sins. And number three, He said, He will heal our land. Do you think our land needs to be healed? This is a summer of prayer. I encourage you, I beseech you, I beg you to set a time aside every night and enter into that. Enter into the things of God. And I'll get to Matthew in just a moment. Don't lose your place there. But today, the Bible says in Hebrews 3, it says this, "Today, if you will hear His voice," meaning God, "do not harden your hearts in the rebellion. I know that it is your desire to hear from God, as it is mine. I have a today word for you. Aren't you glad that you can't live on yesterday's manna? Did you know that? You can't live on the revival of 20 years ago or 30 years ago. It's today. Faith is right now. It's not tomorrow. It's not yesterday. It's right now. Living for Christ is now. You need a today word to live. I have a today word for you right now. I'm asking you, and God is asking you. He's telling you. It's a commandment almost. Would you become a house of prayer? That's exactly what God wants for His church, for His people, corporately and individually, that you start praying. And God deliver us from mechanical praying. Amen? Come on. Are you guilty of that? Oh, you're hard this morning. Of course, I'm just as guilty as you. How do you pray for your dinner? Everybody sits down, you're ready to eat. Oh, God, thanks. But then when company comes, let's hold hands. Oh, God, we thank you. And then you go through, you hit China and Poland, Kosovo. And the meat's just, you know, your dog's dying. Well, you know, the whole bit. But you just get with your regular, oh, yeah. Oh, God, bless our food, us poor, and no more. That's not prayer. I don't know. God goes, I don't know what that is, but that's not prayer. Mechanical praying. Most of the church today, me, I'm not trying to be critical. I'm being honest with you. I preach to myself as much as I preach to you. We need to stop that. Repetitious, vain repetition. Jesus said, don't do that. We're not heathen. Listen to me. Let me ask you a question. When Jesus, or when the disciples in Matthew 6 came to Jesus, and they said, Jesus, would you teach us to pray? Let me ask you a question. Do you think those Jewish boys had never prayed before? They were Jews. Of course they prayed. They grew up learning how to pray. What did they see in Jesus to go, Jesus, you know, would you teach us to pray like John teaches his disciples? Well, he saw something there. They saw something in Christ, Son of Man, Son of God. They saw something. He said, we want to pray just like you. Then he went, of course, into the what we call the Lord's Prayer, which is actually the disciples' prayer, but I'll get to that 2 months from now. Talking about praying, about a house of prayer this morning. E.M. Bounds put it this way. He said, I said this last week. Little praying is worse than no praying. Little praying is kind of a make-believe, a slave for the conscience, a farce and a delusion. Amen. That's exactly the truth. God wants you to be a man and a woman of prayer. He wants you to hear His voice. He wants to be so alive in your heart, in your soul, in your spirit, in your mind, that you're walking in a tremendous unity every day of your life. That's what God wants. Let me ask you a question. Fathers, don't you like being around your kids? Well, it depends on what age they are, Bill. No. Don't you like being around? You know, doesn't it feel good when your little one comes and gets into your lap? Just, or maybe not say a word. Just comes up, sits in your, plays with your ear, and puts your finger in the eye. It doesn't bother you, just keep watching the news, you know, and hold her, him. That's what God's wanting. He's wanting you to crawl up into His lap. Go ahead and pester Him. He doesn't mind. He loves you. He paid the price for you by sending Christ upon a cross. He loves us. He wants fellowship with us, and it's done by prayer. You really desire to pray. I know that you do. You want me to tell you why? Because you'll be in a car and you'll hear a sermon or you'll read a book on prayer and man, the next thing you do, that's right, I'm going to start praying. And you start praying and then after a few weeks or maybe I should say a few days, your journey with God continues, but your prayers don't. You stop. It's just, I couldn't connect, Bill. I just didn't work. I mean, I want it, but it didn't work. How many of us can say, as the psalmist said in Psalms 119, my eyes fail from seeking your salvation and your righteous word. My eyes fail from doing that. I'm in your word. I'm praying. I'm seeking your face. Let me ask you a question. What is prayer? You ever ask yourself that? What is prayer? Prayer is this. It is simply talking to God. It's not that you pray in King James, and if you do, it's all right. God understands King James. He understands NIV and American Standard. Do you follow me? He also understands just the heartbeat of a child. See, prayer is that fellowship, that communing with God. And you have the life of God in you. Now listen to me. you have a choice since you're born again. You can either starve that life that's in you, or you can nourish it and start having that communion with the Father and the Son and with the Holy Spirit. Now, what's the purpose of prayer? Well, Bill, the purpose of prayer is so I can have my car. No, that's all right. You need a car. God knows that you need a car. Well, it's so I can have all my needs met. That's a purpose of prayer. It's part of it. But the purpose of prayer is thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen? Prayer is not about getting your will done. It's about getting God's will done on this earth. Amen? So that's part of the purpose of prayer. It's also to seek and secure the will of God for your life. Now, when you know the Word of God, then you'll know the will of God. But then when you pray, that's the empowerment to get you to do it. His Spirit living in you. The Bible says like this in 1 John 5:14. Listen to me. It says, now this is the confidence we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. Did you hear what I just said? It says, if we ask anything. Say anything.
Amen.
Do you really believe that? It says, if you ask anything. Anything, Jesus said, according to His will. Let me ask you a question. Is it God's will that He supply your needs? Okay, can I tell you something? God will supply them when He knows you need them. Isn't that right? Sometimes you're going through a tough time, you say, oh God, you're not taking care of me. God was always taking care of you. You're still here. You might have lost a few pounds, but so what? You needed it. You might have not been able to buy that extra new car, but guess what? So what? God supplies your need at the moment that you need it. Listen, God knows what you need, when you need it, how you need it, when you're going to get it. That's why you can go to sleep and not worry about it. Does that make sense? It says if we ask anything according to His will. Is it God's will that you be endued with power? I'm talking about that woo, you know. Call it anything you like. Pentecost. Second blessing. Extra experience. I don't care what you call it. It's God's will. It says, how do we know if it's God's will? Well, we find it in the Word of God. It says in 1 John 5:14, I'm reading, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. Now watch this. And we know that He hears us. Whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of Him. That blesses me. You know what? You'll never pray the will of God until you know the Word of God. See, the Bible tells us to be transformed. In other words, not to be conformed to this world, but be transformed how? By the renewing of your mind. By the renewing of your mind. You do that by prayer and meditation upon God's Word. You get the mind of Christ operating in you. You start thinking like Him, acting like Him, reacting like Him. Just as Jesus walked on this earth, we're to walk. Jesus said, as He is, so are we in this world. 1 John 4:17. In other words, Jesus saying, what I did in my earthly body, I want you now to continue in my spiritual body, the body of Christ, the church. Just ask. Jesus wants you to ask anything according to His will. You know what you ought to do tonight or this afternoon? Just go through and find out the will of God. Say, I'm praying that for my life. Can I tell you something? The will of God is never bad for you. Don't be afraid of the will of God. So many people say, I'm not going to pray that. I might go to China. Well, you might be another Hudson Taylor. I mean, how do you know what God has for you unless you walk through the open door He gives you? Well, there may be some pain and suffering. Well, what's new? Welcome to the ministry. We're really suffering in America, aren't we? They're lining us up and shooting us, aren't they? We're so safe and secure over here. The purpose of prayer, is it to tell Him that, God, this is what I need? Yes, it is, but God already knows what you need. Can I tell you something? My son has never come to me in the middle of the night, awakened me in the middle of the night. Dad, I said, yes, what is it? It's 1 o'clock. What do you want? Are we going to have anything to eat in the morning? That's never happened. Not one time. Now, there were times when I woke God up at 1 o'clock in the morning and said, God, am I going to have anything to eat in the morning? It's about our need, yes. Jesus put it this way in Matthew 6. He says, therefore, do not worry, saying, what are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? What are we going to wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. But listen now, your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. He knows exactly what you need right now. He knows if you need gas in your tank. He knows the next job that you're going to have. You find all that out in prayer. Leaning, communing with Him, trusting Him. It says He knows all that you need these things, but seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. I think sometimes we come unto the Lord and we ask very little of Him. In other words, we may come to the Lord and, you know, I'm guilty myself. I come and I ask Him for things He's already given me. Oh, Lord, forgive me, forgive me. Well, I'm already forgiven. Now, if I've been in sin, it's different. But if I say, forgive me, well, He's like, okay, but you're already forgiven, Bill. Oh, Lord, give me access this morning. I have already granted it through my Son, Jesus Christ, through His blood. You see what I'm saying? So many times we come and we pray for things and God's going, I've already done all of that for you. Why are you praying? Just walk in it right now. Why don't you ask me? So, listen, you know what God likes? God likes children to pray. Children pray. Man, they're wild. When you get a child to pray, they ask incredible things, don't they? Hard things. You ever get around a child and they start talking to you and they just ask you things? I remember one time when Thomas was a little bitty boy. He said, we were sitting at the supper table, dinner table eating, and he said, Daddy, I need to ask you a question. I said, sure, son, what is it, buddy? He said, what's God's first name? Now listen to me. I was running through I had all these names. I thought, all right, just a minute. Yeah. And as the Lord is my witness, the Holy Spirit came in and visited us at our supper table. And I looked at Him and I said, let me tell you what God's first name is, son. His name is Almighty. His name is Almighty God. Amen? That's God's first name. He's Almighty God. He can do anything. Do you know God's first name? He's Almighty. He's the God that is more than enough. And so many times we come to Him like an adult. I think that Jesus, and I know He doesn't, but if I were Jesus, I think I'd get weary of a bunch of adults coming to me all the time. Because the Bible says in Matthew 18:3, it says, assuredly, Jesus said this, unless you are converted and become like little children. And I think that's the way we need to approach the Lord, as little children, ask in that innocence and come to Him. You say, well, Bill, why do I even have to ask if He already knows what I need? Well, see, that's the simple part of prayer, just asking and receiving. That's the easy part. Now, I want to tell you the purpose of prayer. See, those were some of the reasons, but I want to tell you the greatest purpose of prayer. The greatest purpose of prayer is to know Him. Do you hear me? Paul said in Philippians 3:10, he said, that I may know Him. Paul was at the end of his life when he said that. He was near death. Paul, you say, you want to know Him? You want to know the power of His resurrection? Yes, that's what I want to know, Philippians 3:10. I want to be made, he said, conformable unto His death. I want a fellowship with the sufferings. Ooh, that's getting heavy. Come on, Paul. That's what he said. I want to know Him. You would think by the end of his life, Paul would say, I know Him. But he didn't. He said, I want to know Him. Jesus told the church in Laodicea in Revelation 3:20, Jesus told the church that was lukewarm, that had shut Him outside, that they had everything going for them. They had wealth and riches. They were happy and had the best praise bands and the best pastor and all the, you know, money could buy. Jesus was outside of that church. He wasn't inside of it. In Revelation 3:20, Jesus said to them, behold, I stand at the door. In other words, and knock. He was standing outside the church, knocking, outside the house of God, knocking, saying, I want to come in. Have you shut Jesus out of your house? Is Jesus knocking on your door, saying, let me in? What's wrong? I was there. Why have you shut me out? Why are you not a house of prayer anymore? Behold, I stand at the door, Jesus said, and I knock. And if any man hear my voice and opens the door, that's something we have to do. Jesus said, I will come into him and dine with him, sup with him, I with him, he with me. What is that? That's the purpose of prayer. That's the purpose where we come in and we fellowship with the Lord Jesus. We get to know him. Listen to me. You know, God is here right now. Jesus is here right now. Wherever two or three are gathered in his name, he's in the midst. I don't see him. But I'm going to tell you something. As weird as that is in a sense, and I know how strange that may sound, it's the Bible. We know it's the truth. But you know, we can't comprehend it, can we? Come on. See, we've become so familiar with doctrine that the life has gone out of it. We know the work. Yes, he's here. I'll die for it. Yeah, yeah. But really, you're going, is he here? Where's he at? Well, he's right here. See, do you know that I feel like Jesus is right beside me? Oh, he's in me. And sometimes in my imagination, and you know, I see things like a movie.
That's like when I got up from my chair and I walked up here. I was imagining. You say, well, Bill, are you into visions? I'm not into anything. I'm into Jesus. But I just felt like, Lord, I'm following you. He's right here. I feel like, I mean, I could reach out and I'm holding his hand. I like it. He's here. Oh, he's in us, yeah, but he's here. And we come in and we don't know that he's here anymore. Because God's house has no longer become a house of prayer. It's become a house of merchandise and programs and schemes and things of men. When we come in here, he said, I'm waiting on you. I was here before you got here. I want you to know that I'm present. I want you to know that I'm here. I see you. I know you. I know the color of your hair. I know the true color of your hair. I know everything about you. And he wants you to know that he loves you. That he died for you. And if he could, he would lift up his hand and say, Thomas, just like he did the death. Look at my hands. Look. Don't you see? Do you see the nail scar? Look at my side. Put your finger. Come on. I want you to be not faithless. I want you to believe. God, the Lord Jesus Christ, wants to be so real to you. Not just out there. Not just someplace where you can't. It's just in a dream. Or okay, I know he loves me, but I never feel him. Yes, God wants you to sense him. Let me ask you, when you were born again, did not something happen? Did you not have an experience? I don't know about you. Something happened. I was changed. And if you're not changed, you did not receive Christ. You just mumbled some words. He came in. He's here. I love him. I want to sense him. I want to touch him. I want him to speak to me. I want to hear him. I want him to correct me. I want him to get everything out of me that doesn't need to be in this house. God, the Lord Jesus Christ, wants to be so real to you. Not just out there. Not just someplace where you can't. It's just in a dream. Or okay, I know he loves me, but I never feel him. Yes, God wants you to sense him. Let me ask you, when you were born again, did not something happen? Did you not have an experience? I don't know about you. Something happened. I was changed. And if you're not changed, you did not receive Christ. You just mumbled some words. He came in. He's here. I love him. I want to sense him. I want to touch him. I want him to speak to me. I want to hear him. I want him to correct me. I want him to get everything out of me that doesn't need to be in this house. Amen. See, we think that prayer, let me back it up. Prayer is the work, not the works. Do you understand what I'm saying? See, we think that doing the work, that's it. No, prayer is the work for the works. Does that make sense? If you're a Sunday school teacher, listen to me. Let me bust you for a moment. That's a California term. I picked it up. No, it's called busted. Forgive me. I want to do it correctly if you're from California. Busted. If you're a Sunday school teacher at Calvary and you're not praying before you teach those little ones, you're killing yourself. And you're probably killing those little ones. No wonder they're going crazy. You need to be, when you walk in there, you've already done the work. Did you hear me? See, prayer is the work. And then you step into it. See, if you want to be a minister, listen, you can't come up here without praying it through. Then you pray it through, then you come up here and you give it out. The work's been done. Now it's just, I'm talking. Does that make sense? See, prayer is the work for the works. And when you see that, then your work will become easy. There'll be a joy in it. There'll be an anointing there. There'll be a presence there. Why? You've already prayed it through. That's the work. Listen to me. We don't know how. We don't know how we need to pray. I'm convinced of that. You know what? When I prayed this morning, you know, I told the Lord, I said, Lord, we're doing a series on prayer. I don't know if I don't even know how to tell him. I don't know if I know how to pray. He said, well, you don't. I said, did you not see my card? Did you not see that stuff hanging on my wall? What do you mean? No, I'm just joking. Listen, we don't know how to pray. Listen to me. Let me read from the Amplified Version, if you don't mind, just for clarity, just for amplification. Romans 8. Let me read this to you, verse 26.
So too, it says the Holy Spirit comes to our aid and bears us up in our weakness. I love that. Have you ever felt in prayer that you're just weak? That's good. That's a great feeling. That's the best thing you can do. If you feel like you can't pray, that's where you want to be. It says, so the Holy Spirit comes and it says, for we do not know what to pray for. I love that, because we don't. How do I know? Pray for my needs. Somebody says, I need you to pray for this, my husband or wife. You don't know anything about it. But you like the guy, so you pray for the guy. It's really the woman. Or you start praying for the woman, it's really the guy. But when you start praying in the Spirit, you're praying the perfect will of God. I'll get to that. It says here, so too the Holy Spirit comes to our aid and bears us up in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray or how to offer or how to offer it up worthily as we ought. But the Holy Spirit Himself goes to meet our supplication and pleads in our behalf, now watch this, with unspeakable yearnings and groanings too deep for utterance. Now listen, and He who searches the hearts of men knows what is in the mind of the Holy Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit that's in you. What His intent is, because the Spirit intercedes and pleads before God. That's the Spirit in us, the Holy Spirit in us. And on behalf of the saints, according to and in harmony with God's will. You ever just been in a point of prayer where you can't pray anymore and you just lie on the floor and groan? It's not really groaning. It's that deep innermost feeling of helplessness, not knowing what to do. Can I tell you something this morning? If you do not, as a Christian, feel the need or the sense to pray, did you hear me? If you don't have that desire in you to pray, it means that you are satisfied. It means you're satisfied. And I'm going to tell you something. It is not the Holy Spirit that made you satisfied. Your house has shut down. You've closed the drapes, locked the doors. The mail is piling up outside in your mailbox. All of the newspapers are on your front lawn. You haven't mowed your grass. There ain't nobody home. Amen. If you have lost that need, you've got to get back there, and you do that by making your house a house of prayer. This morning, as now as we are in chapter 21, I want to look at verse 12 as we get into this message. It says, in Jesus... This is on Palm Sunday, by the way. I don't have time to go back and rehearse all of that. Read it later. But Jesus went into the temple of God and drove out all of those who bought and sold in the temple and overturned the tables of money, the money changers, and the seats of those who sold doves. Now, isn't that like little Jesus, meek and mild? Isn't that awesome? He just walks into town. Of course, he was on a donkey, a little colt. Then he gets out there praising. He walks right into the temple. I love it. And he says, well, this is not the way it's supposed to be. You see, the Jewish people, what they were doing, all the foreign Jews and people would be coming into the temple at that time of year, and they were charging exorbitant prices for the sacrifices, the doves, and so forth. Plus, if the Jewish people that came from other countries came in, they had to go to the money changers to exchange their money, and so they'd change, say, a dollar for an Italian lira or whatever, just using that as an example, and then, but you had to pay twice the amount just to do it. And they were getting rich on it. It was a horrible time. Let me just read something to you about this. Let me just read from Isaiah 56 concerning this passage of Scripture. It says this in Isaiah 56, 7. Let me just read it to you. It says, for my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations. And the Lord who gathers the outcast of Israel says, I will gather them, others besides those who are gathered to me. And all the beasts of the field come to devour. Watch this now. Talking about the leadership that was at the temple. Written, prophesied. The watchmen, they're blind, they're ignorant, they're all dumb dogs. What a horror. See, I call my dog that too. It's scriptural. They're all dumb dogs. Watch this. He says, but they can't bark. They're sleeping, they're lying down, they're loving to slumber. Talking about the leadership of the temple. Yes, they're greedy dogs which never have enough, and they are shepherds who cannot understand. God had already prophesied that. It was already prophesied that Jesus would come into His temple, into the house of the Lord, and He walks in there. And the first thing He does is He cleans house. What that tells me something. He says, I want my house to be a house of purity. I want it cleaned up. The Bible says in 1 Peter 4:17, for the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. Let me tell you something. If the temple is wrong, the city is wrong. You hear me? If the temple, if the house is wrong, then the person is wrong. God says, I've got to clean it up. I've got to clean it up. Let me ask you a question. What would Jesus do if he came into Calvary Chapel this morning? What would he do for us? What would he do to us? He's here. If he literally walked through the door, those doors, we saw them open. I mean, would he come up here and start knocking over the guitars and throwing the drums in the floor and take the offering basket and just dump it out? I mean, I don't know. Think about it. What would he do? What would he cast out? What would he overturn in our lives? Have you ever prayed this prayer? Jesus, Father God, whatever is in me, take it out. No matter what it is, take anything out that's not right. Are you afraid to pray that prayer? If you are, I understand. But you're afraid of the perfect will of God. God, the Lord Jesus Christ, he walked in. He says, it's not supposed to be like this. You got doves over in that corner. You got rams over in this oxen. You got the money changers over in this corner. You're ripping off my people. The shepherds are blind. They're not teaching the word of God anymore. They're fleecing the sheep instead of feeding the sheep. It's become a time of celebration. In other words, entertainment in God's church and no longer teaching God's word and God's doctrine. No longer the church humbling themselves and saying, oh God, clean out my heart. I don't want one vicious thing to come out of my mouth. I don't want to ever complain. I don't want to ever backbite. I don't want to ever curse. I don't want to say anything that doesn't bring glory to my Savior who died and paid for every one of my sins. I don't want to do it. I don't want to look at a person to lust. I don't want to look at a person and what they have and envy that person. I don't want to do anything but please you. A house of purity. You want to become a house of prayer. God says, listen, you're going to have to become a house of purity. Me, all of us, the things that are in our life, the things that are robbing us from walking into what God wants and has for you and I. Jesus came in and cleaned house. I love it. There's something about a house. You know, can you see the money, just the money, all the money all over the floor? Jesus didn't pick up a dime, didn't he? He didn't need tithes and offerings. All of man's schemes right there on the floor, all of his systems, only Jesus standing, everybody else left, no longer controlled by man. That's what God wants for this church. That's what God wants for us. He wants to cast out, overturn everything in our heart that's not right. And now Jesus tells us in verse 13, look here what our house is supposed to be. Then he said, it is written, I love it, he based it on the word of God, it is written, my house. Now that word house there, you check it out in the Greek, you're going to find out it not only means the family of God, not only means the church, it not only means the house of Israel, it means literally your body. Your body. Everyone say, my house. That's right, your house. You're the body of Christ, amen? So it says, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you've made it a den of thieves. You know, demons call people a house. Listen to what it says in Matthew 12. It says, when an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places seeking rest, and he doesn't find any. Then he says, I will return to my house, the same word in the Greek here, from which I came. And when he comes, he finds it empty, swept, and put in order. What does that mean? In other words, the guy didn't get Christ in his heart. So what does he do? He says, well, and Matthew continues and says that he goes out and finds seven other demons worse than himself. They come back, and that man's state now is worse than it was in the beginning. Empty. False profession. Our house is the house of God. The Bible tells us whose house we are. In 1 Peter 2:5, it says that we're living stones being built up to a spiritual house, a holy priesthood. 1 Corinthians 3:9 says we're God's building. And then 1 Corinthians 3:16 says, do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? You know, I could stay right there and preach on that for 3 hours. You're bought with a price. You're a new creation. See, we were overturned, the junk that was in our life. Christ came in. He overturned, took away, and made us pure because we're born again. Our righteousness is as filthy rags, but what did Jesus do, God do? He gave us the righteousness of Christ, his righteousness. We're the temple. We're the house of God. Think about that for a minute. I mean, when you sit down, Jesus sits down. When you get up, Jesus got up. When you were on crutches, he was on crutches. Whenever you were in the hospital bed there praying, He was in the hospital bed there with you praying. You're the temple. You're the house of God. Listen to, do you understand? I mean, God is in you. I mean, that is so wild today. It's like we've forgotten that it's God. Colossians 1:27, what does it say? Christ in you, hope of glory. I don't know how to explain that. See, I mean, He's in me. He's also alongside of me. He's also in His church. He's here. Angels are present with us. Innumerable hosts are here with us. I don't know. I don't understand it. Forgive me for not understanding. How can God, that's so big, it says earth is His footstool, heaven is His throne, earth is His footstool. He's so big, yet He can come in and reside in my heart. He can live in me. His Spirit comes into me and lives. I'm born again. You're born again. It's Christ in you. You are literally the temple. That word is naos. You are the holy of holies of God. When you walk around here, we are the temple of God. We're being built up, it says in Ephesians, unto a spiritual house unto the Lord. Hebrews 3:6 says, but as Christ is the Son over His own house, whose house we are. The true dwelling place of God is in His people, in us. He said to them, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer. Now watch this. But you have made it a den of thieves. I want to ask you a question, church. This first sermon is to get the awareness back to who we really are. It says here, but you have made it. That just stuck out to me. But you have made it. God didn't make it, but we have made it. It says, a den of thieves. From a house of prayer to a den of thieves. Thieves hide. From a house of God, house of prayer, to a den of thieves. It says, you've made it. What are we making of God's house? What are you making of your house? If you're the temple of God, what are you making it? Or what have you made it? If it's not a house of prayer, do you think maybe that that's what God wants it to be? Because that's what the Scripture teaches. Listen to what Jesus said in John 14. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. I will pray the Father, and He will give you another helper, that He may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. But you know Him. Now listen, for He dwells in you, and He will be with you and in you. Now listen, Jesus said, I will not leave you orphans, I will come to you. Well, what is He talking about? I will come to you. It says another helper. That word another means this. Another, Jesus said, I'm going to send another just like me. I'm going to send another me. I'm coming to you. I will come to you. He's here. I will be in you. I will be alongside of you. I will dwell in you. You are the house of God. And if you'll just see yourself as I'm transporting God, wherever I go, I'm going to work, God's with me. Why? I'm the temple of God. I'm the temple of the Holy Spirit. He dwells in me. He reigns in me. He rules in me. He's my Lord. He says, I want your house to be a house of prayer, not a den of anything else. John 14:23, Jesus said this, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. My Father will love him. Now listen, and we will come to him. Are you ready for this? And make our home with him. Do you know the Lord well enough right now to say, He's here. He's in me. Are you conscious daily of the fact that Christ is in you, that He's speaking to you, that He wants to change you, conform you into His image from glory to glory, as it says in 1 Corinthians 3:18. God wants the keys to your house. He wants no trespassers. He wants no one else into your heart. It says in John 15:4, it says, Jesus said, abide in me and I in you. That's incredible. Jesus said, abide in me. Let me have all of your heart. In other words, abide in me. Rather, God says, I want you to live in my heart. And then He says, then I want to live in your heart. A life within a life. I don't know how to explain that. He says, I want your house, your this temple to be my home. And I want this home that I'm going to live in. And the more that you let my heart be alive in your heart, the more you let my words come alive and be your words, the more that you let the Holy Spirit be alive in your spirit, the more you nourish that, the more at home I'm going to be, and the more you're going to be knowing me. He says, and your house will become that house of prayer. And then it says, and then the blind and the lame came into the temple and he healed them. But when the chief priest and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he did and the children crying out in the temple saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were indignant. Listen, where Christ is honored, his enemies are always displeased. And said to them, do you hear what these are saying? And Jesus said, yes. Have you never read, out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have perfected praise? He used children. Children are weak. He said, out of their weakness, it's perfect praise. If you are strong right now, you're not strong in Christ. Please don't misconstrue what I said. It's when you're helpless. It's when you're hopeless inside. When you say, I don't know how to pray, that's when you can pray. That's really the secret to knowing how to pray. See, Jesus said, for without me you can do nothing. He wants to pray through you in the power of the Holy Ghost. But what I want you to see this morning in this one simple passage, and I really said all of this to say one thing. I want you to notice that there is a divine progression in what I just said. The first thing is that it says here that our house become a house of prayer. That is a house of purity. In other words, he came in, he cleaned the house. God wants our house to become, number one, a house of purity. Number two, a house of prayer. Here's the problem. The church today is stuck between the house of purity and the house of prayer. That's where we are. We're stuck there. But listen, if we will become a house of purity, repent, humble yourself, quit doing the things that you know that you shouldn't do. God loves you. Stop it. Why do you put the blood of Jesus under your feet and trample on it? Don't do it. He loves you too much. Walk with him. Talk with him. Become only the pure in heart will see God. Only the pure in heart will hear God. Purify your heart. We sing that song. Purify your heart before the Lord. God says, I want to come into your heart. I want to overturn all the junk that's in it. Are you addicted to something? Are you in sin? Whatever you, he says, God says, I want to get rid of it right now. He says, I want you to purify. Let me come into your house and purify it. Let me get it cleansed. Then after that, he says, here's the progression. You become a house that's pure. Then he says, from that, you'll become a house of prayer. Now watch this. From a house of prayer, the next thing that happens is you become a house of power. Why? Because the lame and the blind came into the temple. In other words, the altar of mammon was there and the altar of God. God had to come and say, you can't have mammon here. Get it out. Get your merchandise out. That dishonored God's temple. And then when he let the blind and the lame come in, then he healed them. What is that? It's a house of power. Now watch this. From a house of purity to a house of prayer to a house of power. Do you think we need to have power today? Do you think we're going to get power without prayer? Okay. Do you think we're going to get power without purity? Huh? All right. Now watch this. From a house of purity to prayer to power, something else happens. The last part, perfected praise. Did you see that? Now watch that. You have purity, you've got prayer, you have power, you have praise. Now, you know why many of us are not praising God like we should? I'm talking about when I'm praising my Lord. Why? You stop praying. You have things in your heart that are not pure. You have no power because of that. And it's hard to praise God when you're living in sin. Now, did you just get what I just told you? Listen to me. I'm begging you to start entering in. And the way you're going to start is by becoming a house of purity. You're saved. God loves you. Yes, his blood has cleansed you. But you know exactly what I'm talking about. And today, I want us to start by starting with getting our hearts right with God. 10 minutes at night. That's all I'm asking of you. Go more. Be great. 10 minutes. You can turn off the news for 10 minutes. There's nothing on there but hell anyway. Bow your heads before God and let's pray.